Let's talk about the Mets real quick, who obviously went into the All-Star break winning five of those very important six games. Right, taking care of the Nationals, taking care of the first two against Colorado, and then losing that last game against the Rockies, which has everybody, especially Evan Roberts, hearkening back to 2021 when they lost that last game of the first half, and then what happened after that. And what happened here after the All-Star break is they lose the first two of three with a four-game coming later today against Miami, a team that has been one of the worst in all of baseball and yet still has a winning record against the Mets this year, which is remarkable. They can't beat anybody else in the division. They beat the Mets. But they take two of the first three games. And really, listen, what's happened here is the offense has cooled off. I mean, you know, yes, you know, Scott gave up a home run. The bullpen hasn't been as good. Daniel Nunez had a bad performance for him for the first time in a while. But you watch this team, even the one game they won, it's a run on a ground out, which could have been a double play, but it's a run on a ground out from Alvarez. That's the only run in the game. You got a very good performance from Severino, who's been a godsend, and we'll spend more time on Severino and what they should do, because a couple of very knowledgeable Met fans that I trust are hunting, put him out there in the market and let him get sold. I don't know how I feel about that, but we'll get to that. But here's the one player I want to talk about, because yes, obviously the offense is struggling. JD Martinez has not been what he was at the beginning of this hot streak. We've seen guys cool off. Nimmo's cooled off. And this offense that carried this team, because when they were playing well, when they were winning games, when they were on this hot streak, no doubt, the starting pitching has always been kind of solid this year. Manaea got lit up the other night. But for the most part, it hasn't been dominant starting pitching. It hasn't been great starting pitching, but it's been far better than we expected. And, you know, maybe with a stretch there of not going deep into the games, the starting pitching has been fairly pretty good. And, you know, for a time at the beginning of the year, the bullpen was excellent. We've had different times at that. But during their best baseball, what we've seen in the month of June, what thrusted them right back in to this playoff picture has been an unstoppable offense, pounding starting pitching in particular. And they've just cooled off. And the offense has not come through with the big hit. They put guys on multiple times Friday night. Alonso hits into an enormous double play in the beginning of the game. We've seen it from the Yankees. We've seen it from the Mets. Inability to come through with the big hit. And for me, as we talk trade deadline for the Yankees and Mets, I view both of them in similar positions. I think it's not exactly the same. It's not do or die. This season is not predicated on whether or not the Mets win the World Series. There is a successful season for the New York Mets somewhere in the gray between failure and winning a championship. There is none for the New York Yankees. It's win a championship or the season was a failure. So they're in different aspects as far as that, starting a new era with David Stearns as the president of baseball operations. You know, Mendy is the new manager. So it's a different feel. But ultimately, for me, at the trade deadline, they should be approaching it the same way. They should be looking for pieces to add to this team that's been as impressive as any they're battling with in the National League wild card. Now, they're not in a position necessarily where it's trade everything. They've been building assets. They're trying to build a farm system. We've had this conversation a lot. But there's no doubt they need to go out there and add on some level. And I no longer think they should sell. I think most people are at there. But here's the conversation I thought we were going to have. And here's the conversation we have to have right now about Pete Alonso. All right? Because Pete Alonso had a miserable home run derby and is followed up with an ugly series against Miami and really a continuation of an ugly series and season on his walk year as a New York Met. And I thought we were going to spend time, days, shows, hours about what to do with Pete. Do you trade him? What are they going to do? How do you, you know? And yet here we are, and there is no way in hell they're trading him. And it's not just because they've played themselves into a position where they shouldn't be trading pieces. It's because he's lost all value. Pete Alonso has no value. If the Mets were losing, I don't know if I would trade Pete Alonso right now. If the Mets were out of it and continued on their way, the way they were playing in April and May, I still don't think I'd trade Pete Alonso because I wouldn't get anything for him. And I'm not in the business of giving away pieces. I'll take my chances signing him on a miserable contract off a miserable year. Or I'll take my chances getting draft picks that I can pick and choose who I want to draft as opposed to taking whatever other team would give me for a lousy Pete Alonso this year. And that's what he's been. And I talked about it at the beginning of the month, and I've said it a bunch. This has been an impressive run by this offense to thrust them back into this position, and I can name seven easy New York Mets who have been far more impactful in their winning than Pete Alonso. I mean, even some of the guys who've now cooled off, Taylor cooled off, Bader cooled off. Those are two players who clearly had much more to do with Pete with winning over this month and getting right back into the playoff picture than Pete Alonso has. He's got two home runs and five RBIs in the month. I know the week was off for the All-Star break, but Pete Alonso has got to be better. And we can talk about whether or not he's a lifelong Met. We can talk. Those are all different conversations. I heard Moose during the midday this week talking about how he shouldn't be in any other uniform. He needs to be in this one now because, honestly, I haven't seen him. And if the Mets are going to do this, I don't know what kind of impact players the Mets are going to get at the trade deadline. I don't know what kind of level of impact player. Certainly not offensively. I don't think they would waste, considering how good the offense has been, I don't think they're going to put any stock or any trade value into acquiring offensive, you know, quality. They're going to go try and figure out the bullpen, maybe even a starter. I don't know, but that's what they'd be buying for. They're not going to be looking to add. If they sell Severino, which is a conversation we can get to, maybe you get that add, buy, sell, all nonsense, all rolled into one that everybody seems to think David Stearns could, you know, thread the needle and figure out just the perfect way to sell this guy and buy this guy and get prospects to buy that guy. But ultimately, Pete Alonso needs to be more of an impact player on this team. If they're going to go anywhere, if they're going to have the season they want to have, he can't be fifth, sixth, seventh, or eighth on the list of players who are impacting winning. And he's been brutal. And right now, you can't trade him because you'd get nothing for him. Forget where they are in the standings. Severino gives you value. At least I can understand that. I think he was, you know, he showed you real guts and guile. He didn't, you know, there was always runners on. It wasn't a dominant performance from Severino, but he figures out a way, even with Alonso throwing the ball away. He figures out a way to get out of a jam. He's dialed it up. I mean, he was routinely hitting 98, 99 miles an hour. The fastball's there. The stuff is there. You can get a real package. You can get a real return for Severino. You get nothing for Pete Alonso right now. Nothing. He is having a miserable walk year, a miserable year for the Mets. It's similar to Gleyber Torres. Me and Fleas are talking about it. It's similar to Gleyber Torres. You can't sell him. Now, he hasn't been quite as bad as Gleyber. At least he's got some pop. But it's in the point where he's too high a value guy to sell him now. So forget in any way, shape, or form moving Pete Alonso and forget the normal conversation we thought we'd have on whether, hey, he can be the guy, he's too good to sell, you got to retain him to give yourself a chance to sign him in the offseason. That's not even the conversation. The conversation is I can't trade him because I can't get anything for him. But if you're going to look at, you can't expect, Brandon Nimmo had a hell of a run. And if you look at it, Lindor at the top of the order, Nimmo having the run he had, we've seen J.D. Martinez go up and down a little bit. You can't expect Nimmo to carry the team the whole year. He's never been that player. I think he's a hell of a player. I think he's damn good, and I think he's on his way to having a tremendous season, but he can't carry you for the entire. He had a month of practically carrying you. How much more is he going to give you? I'm not saying he's going to go into the tank, but he can't be what he was the entire year. Even Lindor is not going to be what he was for the rest of the season at the top of the order. And certainly when you have career years from everybody in the bottom of your lineup, like right now, over the last month, you are talking about the best brand of baseball you have seen in his career from Iglesias, by far, who's now earned the starting second base position, finally. But Iglesias, best year of his career, and that's a long career. All-star in previous years. Best run of his career. Best run of Bader's career. Vientos has emerged. You're getting, you know, up until recently, Taylor was giving you as much as you could possibly have hoped for. I mean, every single question mark at the back end of the, you know, other than Stewart, really, you're getting career years. You're getting the best you could have possibly hoped for from everybody up and down the lineup. And now that it's cooled off, you need the one guy you expected, the one guy who's supposed to be your guy, the one guy who fans didn't want to trade because he's going to be the best position player to ever wear the uniform, and he's going to break every record, and he's going to do all these great, wonderful things. Well, right now, they need him to step up and do something. He has been brutally bad. And while the rest of, while, you know, the team was being carried by Lindor and carried by Nimmo and carried by Iglesias and Taylor and Bader and Alvarez and everybody else up and down the lineup, Pete Alonso can't be this bad. So they got a big game. I think we're past the point of I've talked so much about the six games heading in. I think that was the final straw for me. I don't know what else David Stearns would need. The Mets are buying. Now, could they try and sell and buy and play some shenanigans with their starting pitching depth? Although we haven't even seen Kodai Senga yet. We're hoping he's going to be back in his net. He's going to have a rehab start, and then hopefully he could be into the rotation. But we haven't even seen him pitch yet. Manaea just got beat around the last time we saw him. Quintana, same thing, off a good 3 or 4 game stretch. You know, did not have a good start his last start out. And suddenly they think they might have this depth at starting pitching. Now, they have a guy in Severino where if teams that are desperate for starting pitching fall short of getting the Scoobles and getting, you know, the Crochets and some of the top starting pitchers available in the market, could you get a King's ransom for Severino? Me and Fliegelman were discussing this. He thinks maybe you can. If you can get a King's ransom, is it worth it? I'm very hard-pressed to trade away what right now I deem to be my best starting pitcher on a team I'm hoping I can compete with. I look around the rest of the National League. Yes, Philadelphia is damn good. Yes, the Dodgers have gotten hot here. They've just been beating up on the Red Sox. Thanks, buddies. You know, yes, Atlanta's probably a better overall team than they played for a lot of the year, but like this thing seems wide open to me. And for a Mets franchise that doesn't have a lot, you know, I mean, I can't snub my nose at a year where I think I could win. And sure, could you get a King's ransom, move some of those pieces, and get another starting pitcher and a reliever and try and figure this thing out? I suppose. But for me, I want to keep everybody, add to it, and see if I can go out there and win. And it starts with the game later today. You can't go, and unfortunately for the Mets, they've gone 500 in the last 6 games against the 2 worst teams in the National League. That's the bottom line. Yes, they swept the Nationals. Yes, they've thrust themselves into this playoff situation. But if you want to actually go out there and win it, if you want to be a wild card team, if you want to go out there and make the playoffs, if you're the Mets and you got off to the start you got off to, you can't go play the worst 2 teams in the National League for 6 games, 7th later to come, and you can't go 500 against those 2 teams. That's unacceptable. And it's unacceptable riding high, coming into the All-Star break, winning 5 of 6 in that homestand, coming out and losing 2 of 3 to Miami. It's not good enough. And it's not good enough for Pete Alonso to not come through in any big situation over the last month while the rest of his team was carrying him. Now it's his turn. Now it's his turn. And you can't even move him because he has zero value. And he's hurt his he's having a miserable walk here.